Okay, for the recording, maybe we need to start again. I ring the bell again. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then always remember, you are here to train your mind, to develop the heedfulness. To be heedful, you need to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate noble path of meditation as taught by the Buddha. You combine these two, it becomes heedfulness, apamada. The mind that is trained is very peaceful, away within, silent. That is the meditative mind. So you need to make full use of this mind. Try to maintain that state for as long as you can, then carry it over to the daily living, daily life. The real meditation can only start after you develop heedfulness. Then you have to bring forth the cultivation in daily life. Okay, there are two sisters who came and joined us. They just arrived, not long. I think Sister Kwan and the friend. Where are they? They are not here. Is Sister Kwan here? Never mind. Or still in the room. Never mind. Let them join in. Okay. Now it's 4:30 to 5:30. Q&A followed by a review of meditation reporting to develop proper understanding of the cultivation. The Dhamma and the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So you can ask any question regarding meditation, the Dhamma, and real life application of Dhamma. Okay, anybody wants to report the meditation or ask any question? Yeah, yes. Pass the mic to our sister here.
This morning, yesterday morning, after the exercise, I was very sleepy, and then I have a lot of thought during meditation. But then this morning after exercise, I don't feel sleepy anymore. But then I can meditate, but still have a lot of thought. Then I don't know whether this is a delusion for me or not. Because when I meditate, I have a lot of thought. And then quite sometime, after a while, I suddenly feel so calm.
Very peaceful.
I don't know whether it's very peaceful. It seems like the hall is very peaceful, very quiet.
Suddenly, like there is a shift of consciousness, then you feel very quiet. That is your true mind can perceive it. When the chattering inside stop on its own, when the thought, thinking all stop. That's why do not be discouraged by what happened initially.
The thought suddenly like it stay aside like that.
All of a sudden like disappear.
For me to see the peacefulness.
The silence arise without thought. Understand not? And then you see the difference between the two states. The mind that is silent without thought is so peaceful, so beautiful.
And I can feel the
breathing very clear.
Not like I'm trying to breathe.
Yeah, no more. Means the breathing naturally happen. And you are aware. And this breath is like very natural. Not a force on us. Not forcing it. Not trying to breathe and trying to be mindful. That is all thought. That's why what she experienced is very good. Most people go through that. Anything
I'm
else?
Not sure, because I think maybe...
No, it's very good. What you report is very good. You got any more questions? Okay, you're off the mic. I explain. Okay, what she go through is very good. First day, he said, after we settled down, came in, I think a bit tired, so most of you all don't have proper sleep. Except those who know how to sleep. And after that, the second day, morning exercise, remember? Not enough rest, not enough sleep. So after exercise, also sleepy and so on. So it's okay. But he said this morning is different. This morning after exercise, he can sit. But a lot of thought and so on. At least you are mindful that there is a lot of thought. So what did I tell you? Don't fight. Understand? Don't react. Don't become unhappy. Thought is just thought. Let it arise. Be at peace with it. Just silent and be with it and accept the reality. Then what happened was because the condition was right for her, I think there could be some help from somewhere. All of a sudden, your mind suddenly experienced peace without you knowing. And this is what I mean when you don't look for it, understand or? When you don't have any craving, then it can happen, understand or? Then when it happens, like what she said, it's like the thought all disappear, set aside. Then show her the calm mind, the tranquil mind, the still mind. Then after that, she realized the breathing, very natural, no need to force, no need to like try to get the breath in and out. That's why I say everything should be done in a very natural, relaxed manner. The real mindfulness is like that. No thought on. That's not. Then when the mind and the breath move as one, it's fully aware. Then all of a sudden when the awareness, sati is developed, the mind becomes quiet. Because without thought, when you are just aware, without thought, it will become quiet. And the quiet mind, that's it is not still yet. Quiet and to a certain extent silent is the beginning of mental training. It's the beginning of understanding that this mind can be trained as well. You are training the mundane mind not to chatter and as well, not to actually do all those heedless thinking. So meditation is very simple when you understand and when you have faith. That's why she just sit. Relax and go through it. We have no more sloth and torpor. Then she will experience that. But what is important is when you experience that, you continue to relax into it, then stabilize it and set up. Stabilize it. It's very helpful. Then now you experience the difference between the heedless thinking mind and the mind without thought that is so peaceful. That's why you must determine to develop this cultivation, the five spiritual faculty, everything, you continue to stabilize it. Because as you settle down, your faith and your mind become different. Then as you continue into the retreat, today is only the third day, on the fourth, fifth and sixth, many of you will become very calm and very peaceful, and the mind is different. But throughout the day, you are not heedless like last time, understand? So the setting can help you. The environment can help you. What you need is the faith, sadha, virya. Then sati will come. So this is a very, very good reporting and sharing. I rejoice. Thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You want to say something? Anything? You can continue. Yeah. Don't worry. Continue.
Hello. The next session, I couldn't get any.
Definitely.
Maybe I craving.
Because you want it repeated.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
The memory is very cunning. So So thought is what? Respond to memory. That's what, like good food. Oh, that day the food very nice. So I want to go there. So when you sit, you remember this morning, the meditation very good, the silence. It's for you to understand, to see. Then you don't go and arise the thought. Then you just continue to relax into it and just silent and be patient. Things will happen. Okay? Then you can, you bow a bit. Bow. Just do the mindfulness bow. Then walk. Just walk. Then after that you sit. Because the exercise is actually training in mindfulness. Understand not? So when you are trained in mindfulness, this will become a new conditioning of how your mind actually functions. Instead of throughout the day worrying here, worrying there, planning this, planning that, hectically run here, run there, do all those daily chaos. You are now in a retreat. You have settled down. You either meditate, or you eat your food, or you develop the mindfulness exercise. Then you contemplate. So this mind will slowly, slowly settle down. It shifts from total heedlessness to heedfulness. The more important thing is those who have a lot of thought, you straight away go into mind-sweeping method. Don't underestimate mind-sweeping method. Mind-sweeping method combined metta is very powerful. It will decondition your heedless thinking very quickly. Okay? Now, it brings me to this particular topic. Turn to your Heart Sutta, page 29. This one can help your Page 29, 29. Got it? Heart Sutta class 7. Seven Heart Sutta class. 1.1. Breath theory emphasizes the importance of understanding the following. What is meditation? You have to understand what is meditation. That's why I always say, you must develop understanding. You meditate without understanding, you are actually being gullible and you waste a lot of time. What is meditation is important because once you understand, then you will develop the understanding so that you can understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. And this will keep you always in focus. Understand not? Otherwise, you got no objective. You just gullible. You listen to instruction. You interpret the instruction. Then you think meditation is like that. You go and note this, note that, or concentrate on this, concentrate on that. Or you think mindfulness is like that. Then you go and do all those funny things. So develop understanding before you do. You cannot do something when you don't understand what that thing is. So the next sentence, the second important understanding is, there are two steps involved in the development of meditation as taught by the Buddha. The first step is to train the mind to be heedful, see? Because of Dhammapada verse 21. What did the Buddha say? Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. Whereas the heedless are as if dead spiritually. So if you want to meditate, you must have heedfulness. So the first step you must do is to train your mind to be heedful. So how do you train? Because your mind, as I explained earlier on, it got hindrance due to your delusion, self-delusion and ignorance, attachment, craving, clinging. So because of that, you need to use a skillful means or an object of meditation to anchor the mind in awareness or mindfulness so that the mind is relaxed, aware, silent and mindful within. Just like I explained to that lady, whatever method or technique you use, you don't worry. It's not the method and the technique. Well, that thing never defined the meditation. Meditation, you must understand, the Buddha actually made it very clear in his teaching. to meditate, you must have heedfulness. So the first thing is to train your mind to be heedful. And why are you not heedful? It's because you are not mindful. You have not developed the spiritual faculty. The hindrance become very powerful. So to decondition the heedless thinking, we use a skillful mean, mind sweeping method. Second step is to make use of this trained mind in silent awareness to see things as they are, to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha, namely the cultivation of the daily mindfulness, or sati sampajana, the four foundations of mindfulness, and the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, and the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. So all these are the steps that you need to do. After your mind is already heedful, then use it to meditate, to insight into phenomena, to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, namely anicchang, dukkang, anatta, or impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. So if you can do that, then you are beautiful. And how do you develop the insight? You have to cultivate, cultivate daily mindfulness or sati sampajana. Of course, it includes the four postures that the Buddha recommends under kaya nupassana. Then the four foundations of mindfulness, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, and the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. So, the two steps are very important. Then the third important understanding is the aim of meditation is just to realize the state of enlightenment that is beyond thought, beyond time, psychological time, because the Dhamma is timeless, akaliko. So thought-based meditation is limited in the field of thought. Hence, it cannot free our mind or lead us to a realization, lead it to realize a state that is beyond thought and beyond time. Because the moment of thought is psychological time. Understand that? Every moment thought arises, that is psychological time, mental movement, mental time. Diligently cultivate the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya to overcome the five mental hindrances, which are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or sleepiness and lethargic mind, restlessness of mind, and doubt. The danger of having self-delusion and not comprehending what sakkayadity or self-delusion is, this is also a very important understanding. So, when you are mindful, you are supposed to see how you are conditioned into delusion, how your thought actually, through wrong view and wrong thought, condition you to attach and cling. Because there is sakkayadity, self-delusion. You believe that this five-year form of mind is what you are. Then the next important understanding is important of using mindfulness to observe and understand how your mind stirs and get conditioned into mental thinking or activity, leading to all the emotions and reactions to sense experience that condition one's suffering, etc. We are comprehending the famous Mahayana saying of Qi Xing Tong Nian. How many of you don't understand Mandarin? Oh, quite a number. You know what is Xing? Xing is mind. Qi Xing is whenever the mind arises. This refers to the mundane mind, conditioned arising mind. When you arise this, thinking will arise, understand? Tong nian, nian tou. So this is a very powerful saying. The arising of mind creates thinking, hence stirring the mind to be comes to be. Or in Theravada term, is called avijja paccaya sankhara, understand? Dependent on ignorance or self-delusion, wanting to know, wanting to experience, you start to create thought, thinking. That's why you think a lot. That's why in school also, the teacher will tell you, if you don't understand, go back and what? He asks you to go back and what? Think about it. Understand? Because to you, that is the only instrument. So, whatever you are taught is, you have to use thought to understand. But thought cannot give understanding. Thought gives knowledge. Understanding, you cannot use thought. You need to either reflect, contemplate, or insight into it. The English translation is ignorant conditioned activities of mind. So these are the first two links of the dependent origination, or 12 link. Paticca Samuppada. The eighth understanding is originally before the stirring. Listen, this one can help you. The mind is already in the meditative state of inner peace, silent and still awareness within. So the stirring of the mind only comes about when we do not have the wisdom and understanding of this fundamental principle of the true mind or original mind. Then through your own delusion or ignorance, you cause your mundane mind to arise. Hence the stirring, via your reaction to sense experience at the moment, at every moment of sense door consciousness. Train the mind to have the silent inner awareness and clarity to see all this clearly. Then there is no more delusion. Thereby understanding that if we can just let things be, then there is no more suffering or problem. And with this understanding, tranquility will return by not trying to do anything. We are using the thought to suppress or control. Just be patient to maintain the silent mind with clear awareness within inner awareness. And let everything return to its original state before its stirring. Always remember, when there is no more delusion or ignorance, then there is no stirring of the mind. Hence, having the understanding that only wisdom frees the mind. That is, the moment you have wisdom, your mind will not stir, and you are free. So no need to do anything after that, because things are just the way they are, suchness. Or in Pali, it's called tatata. You remember earlier on, Brother Tune gave a sharing, the fear, right? He just continued to silence and be with it. And that is the third way, the five way that the Buddha teach to overcome unwholesome thought. So when you stay with it, what happened? It's no more thought energy, so that fear will cease to be. Just like Krishnamurti say, the very flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought. So when you understand that, then you don't go and fight, you don't go and do anything, you don't go and separate yourself, say anger is an evil root, I don't want to get angry. Then what you do? In Cantonese they say yanna, but actually you suppress, you don't want to get angry. But the evil root still inside, you know, the anger, the unhappiness still inside, you know. But the mind say, no, shouldn't get angry. Then you control, you suppress. That is not the way to free, because without wisdom, you cannot free. You have to develop the understanding by silence the mind. Then continue to be with it. When you are with it, you can understand what happened. True or not? I give you another example, you understand. If you want to understand your kid, what must you do? What must you do? Scold him, lecture him, tell him off. This is what most parents do. Told you not to do, you somehow do. Then after that, that word, stupid fellow. Then get angry, pinch that guy or whack that guy. But through that, you cannot understand the kid. Understand? If you want to understand the kid, what must you do? Listen to them. Observe them, like kindergarten the teacher. And then the kindergarten teacher will call you. I think your child got some problem. He is not like ordinary child, active, running around. He like to sit quiet. Because that teacher observes the kid. So when you observe your kid, you will understand your kid better. He got certain habit, preference. Then he like to do certain things. After you observe, you laugh. Oh, this boy like that one. You take away his thing, he get angry. Then you understand. Oh, he got this type of funny character. But you only scold, 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 and try to discipline.
you can never understand. It's just like you arise the thought, keep on scolding. But when you silent and just observe, don't comment, don't react, and don't do anything, and let the boy do what he like. And then you start to see why he like that. And then after that, you have a clear mind, then you ask yourself, how can I help? How can I make him understand? But he's still a kid, understand that? Then sometimes through your observation, you can find that this kid is very talented in certain things. Sometimes you take supermarket, go, then you go to a music shower, then they stare at the piano. You cannot understand, no? They got the past interest, no? That's why they stare. Or sometimes they listen to certain type of music, they stop and they turn around, their heart drawn to it. Means they got talent in those things. That's why you have to be observant. You don't just, come boy, come, no time, come. Oh, you don't see, you just drag the boy away. Then you fail to actually explore his talent. Understand not? And then you do that to your kid. In future, you will have parents who will do the same thing to you. Even you see people meditating, see monk with a rope, maybe you already cultivate before from the past, you become curious, you look, then you like to follow them. Then your parent, come, draw you away. And I said, the last time you did it to your kid. So you have to be careful. Karma is like that. Don't play a fool. Whatever you do to your kid, always remember that is coming. So in future, you will have parents that will do the same thing to you. But if you are kind to them, responsible, guide them, sacrifice for them, bring them out in a proper way. And later on, you will have parents who are very responsible, care for you, provide for you, sacrifice for you, give you the best. This is what karma is all about. Remember what the Buddha said? You reap what you sow. This is the nature's law. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. Only foolish people who don't understand this law dare to violate the nature's law of karma. Whatever you do to people, not necessarily your kid alone, it has its karmic effect. When the time comes, when there is condition, it will hit back. You become the victim opposite. So, don't try to be funny. Don't take things into your own hand without understanding. That's why the Buddha say, avoid all evil, have goodness, have kindness, be pleasant, be gentle, be kind, be loving, have compassion, do your duty well, then everything will go your way, because you are incapable of negativity. So you have developed very good karmic inheritance. The merits that come with it, the blessing that comes with it, they are beautiful. Then if you have the condition to cultivate the Dhamma, develop spiritual understanding and make aspiration, life after life, you have this type of understanding, so that you don't have to suffer unnecessarily. Okay? So this is a very important understanding. Okay, after that, I think we can skip. The rest is just Dhamma. You go to part 3. Bratio conducted a review on the compilation of email notes as written by him to various Buddhist groups and Dhamma friends in the early years, with the title Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, so as to enable the cultivators of the Buddha Dhamma to have better understanding of the key important Dhammas as constantly emphasized by the Buddha. So they are... All these are what I used to repeat. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, 183, 21, 22, 23. They are all there. So importance of understanding Dhammapada verse 1, 2, 183, verse 21, 22, 23. And the Buddha's final advice before his parinibbana means strive on with heedfulness and all those things. These verses are classified under word of wisdom of the Buddha immediately after the content, introduction, and acknowledgement section. This book was given out much earlier. Most of you should have, except the new people. If you don't have, you let us know. We will try to go and look for it. Otherwise, we will photostat them. Then the importance of understanding the true significance of the Four Noble Truths as expressed by the Buddha as the equivalent to the handful of leaves as emphasized by him at Kosambi in the Simsapa group over 2,500 years ago to the monk. So as to enable them to stay focused in their cultivation. Otherwise, the chances of deviations are very high and probable. So in that book, I describe this example, the handful of leaves. Whereas the Buddha, on one occasion at Kosambi, he took from the ground a handful of leaves and he asked the monk, which is small, the leaves that is in the forest, means in the forest on above the tree and the ground, or the handful of leaves in his hand. All the bhikkhu reply, the leaves that is in the forest is so much more. Then you know what the Buddha replied? He said, likewise, what I understand through his wisdom are like the leaves in the forest. But what I have taught you is just the handful. Why? You know why or not? Because the Buddha said the rest are not conducive for enlightenment. These are the ones that is conducive for enlightenment. It will bring forth the liberation of mind, freedom from all suffering, leading to enlightenment and all those things. Then the Buddha said, what are they? You know what are these handful of leaves? What are they? The Four Noble Truths. That's why he said, I teach only this handful of leaves because they are conducive for enlightenment. And in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon after his, not long after his enlightenment, when he preached to the five ascetics, he stated it very clearly in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. It's also in the appendix of that free note, the email compilation. He said, even he himself as a bodhisattva at that time, before he became a Buddha, he has to understand the Four Noble Truths in his three turning and 12 mode. We have Four Noble Truths times three turning is 12 mode, in order to become an enlightened one. So what more for other beings who are not like the Sammasambuddhas, the bodhisattvas, parami? Even the bodhisattva need to go through that. What more for other beings? That's why it is very important, the handful of leaves. So the three turning of the Four Noble Truths actually give rise to the three types of wisdom. Then the importance of understanding what is meditation, as explained under email number 2 and 3. It's very clearly explained inside there. I use the swimming analogy, that one. Very, very clear inside there. Then the last part is the importance of developing the three types of corresponding wisdom of Suttamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya that will arise via cultivating the three turning of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha via the first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. And that was given under email 4 of that particular email compilation notes. So, try to get a copy. Then turn to the next page. You have to go on. Turn to page 34. This one I will teach you another skillful means to develop the training of the mind to be peaceful. This monk is an American monk. He got a center, Dhammasuka, in the United States. So early days, I happened to log in, then we communicated. Then a lot of the email compilation came about because the time when I replied to them. So all those, the first batch of Kayanamita that came to me, they find it so useful. That's why they asked me to compile them. They said, your email are so beautiful, why don't you compile them? And that was the first transcript book. Not really transcript. The first email compilation that we did. So you don't have, try to get a copy. The email compilation on the 6 hour is also in that notes, if I'm not wrong. Okay, 3.1, meditation. While reviewing email number 3, what is meditation, part 2, Brad Teo came across the 6 hour meditation practice as mentioned by one other participant. And Brad Teo had so kindly explained the 6 hour practice to us as below. So this was written by Sister Lee. So I just explained the thing. The monk that introduced this 6 hour practice is quite a good monk. And his 6 hour method or technique, that's why he's a skillful meaner, which is also sometimes termed as a form of right effort, is quite useful and good if used as a skillful means to train the mind and relax the mind. But as in many instances, they thought the 6 hour is the meditation, hence the problem. This is also the reason why every time when they are doing the 6 hour, they thought they are meditating. So anyway, the 6 hour, as mentioned, consists of the following. So this 6 hour is very good, understand now, as an initial training of the mind to be mindful, to be aware, to release all your stress, everything. Whatever tension, tightness and stress within, you're supposed to relax it. But this 6 hour help in that sense, because it teaches you how to do it. But their mistake is, number six R, where there are six in there. The last one, he said, repeat. R stands for repeat. I better write on the whiteboard. Then he said, to repeat the above 6 hour training. So when you continue to repeat, it's like the method and technique you continue to do. Like your thing, if you don't know rising, falling, you are not doing vipassana. So this 6 hour, they do the same. If they don't do the 6 hour, they are not meditating. They are not doing meditation. So that's why they got trapped. Then it become mechanical. Every time they look for 6 hour. Actually, it's just to train the mind to be aware, mindful, then stabilize it and develop the cultivation. But they just keep on doing. I will explain to you. Do you still need this one? You don't need, You need this one. Oh, wait. Kwan, you just came in. Did your friend pass you the notes and the book, the program? Okay. Take, come, quickly take. Take, then can WhatsApp out. See, I also have to take, Okay. What is the first R stated there? Somebody read to me. Recognize, Then what did I write? Recognize that the mind has means drawn away by something, lost in thought or preoccupied with something. Understand not? Understand not? That's why when you sit meditate a lot of thought. So actually your mindfulness is gone. You are lost in thought, drawn away. You didn't recognize it, understand not? So the first R help you with that. 6 hour. Technique or meditation technique. So the first R is recognize. Recognize that the mind has been distracted. distracted. Means lost in thought or preoccupied with something. You should try to read the whole thing. First R is recognize. To recognize that your mind has been distracted by a distraction, which can be a wandering thought or a pain as well. So when there is a pain, what happens? Your mind is drawn there. You don't like that feeling. You want to push it away there. It's a hindrance. Where you label it as pain. So a wandering thought or a tension or itchiness or numbness within your body manifesting as tactile consciousness or at one of the other sense door. So it can be a disturbing sound, understand? Or dirty thought, like one of them mentioned. Then you respond through wrong view and react. Thought is just thought, come and go, impermanent. Why you want to label it as dirty thought? Dirty only when you think that way. When you don't think that way, it's not dirty. But sometimes it's the subconscious release, and sometimes it responds to memory. We have habitual tendency. You have been doing that for so long. So first is to recognize that the mind is not aware anymore. Understand? Means distracted. Lost in thought or preoccupied is something. Preoccupied what? Pain, numbness. Because meditation, you experience all this, isn't it? Then sometimes itchiness, understand? Then sometimes like something happened, then you like panic, like that lady, no more breathing. The thought will come and tell you, hey, you are not breathing, you may die. So there is this fear inside. That means you are lost in thought. The fear has arisen. That mind is not aware anymore. When you have fear, worry, anxiety, you can never be aware anymore. Where you are preoccupied with those mind states. And all these are thought-based, condition arising. So he said, recognize. Second one is what? Release. To release the mind from the distraction and letting it be without clinging or reacting to it. He is learning it. He don't want to have anything to do with it. Just let it be. Then, what happened? After you recognize, you have to release that distraction. Release. Release means what? You don't hold. You don't give it any more meaning. Understand? You already know, it already distract you, draw you away. You are no longer heedful. So what must you do? Don't hold on to it. The moment you hold on to it, you know what happened? You will feel a tension in your brain here. Not relaxed. Because either that thing make you dislike, like pain or fear and all these things or whatever. Even your thought and all those things. So because of that, you need to release whatever distraction. Means you don't go and continue to dwell into it. Don't go and label pain anymore. Just release that mind out. Don't go there anymore. After release, what is the third R? Read. He said you relax. This is the first support of meditation. He also know the importance of relax. Yeah, he wrote to me during the years. We were exchanging something. Then when I explained certain things, he couldn't understand at that time. Later on, I think he understand. Because later on, he was very friendly to me. His website, a lot of people going to that chase hour. You simply write things, not according to what he write on or understand. He chase you all. But for my case, it was very funny. Because the way I reply everything, he somehow didn't chase me out, didn't cut me off. He finally just let me stay. Until today, he let me stay. Then after that, he wrote to me. He actually, certain time, he said thank you. Because when he's not around or when I reply, it helped the people there. And he know, he understand. So because of that, His 6 hour is not bad. Because I told him, your 6 hour is good, but you must know how to use. Because I actually point out to him, you know, that the number 6 you don't go and do. After that, otherwise your mind become mechanical. Wow, the ego like cannot take it. You know, because in front of all the students, the website, everybody there. You know. Then I say, I didn't purposely reply you. You know, because you asked for help. You know, because one of the students asked you, what is the difference between the what and what? I forgot. He said, to him it's like very near. So he cannot understand. Right? So I thought, maybe share something. So I wrote. Those email is still, I don't know whether I still got it or not. But I think Mi Feng and Sui An, they saw it. They know about the email. So don't worry about what happened. We just want to make use of what is good. That's enough. So he said, relax. What did I write there? Somebody used the mic to read. Use the mic to read. Who is having the mic? Pamasuri read. Relax.
To relax the tension or tightness or stress within caused by craving in your forehead.
Yes.
Where there is...
He came to realize that every time when your mind is distracted, when you cling, hold and grasp, at your forehead here, like I told you, you don't feel easy. It's not natural, not relaxed. So he knew every time there is problem, here, the thing like a membrane, tighten, understand? Actually, it's stress at different level, understand? Depending on the distraction. If the distraction is something that stir your anger or make you frightful or fearful, then that tension is very strong. But if it's just a mild distraction, like heedless thinking, lost in thought, that thing is actually, you also know, just like that sister just now shared, you are not peaceful, understand? Your mind, you know, a lot of thought, not peaceful, understand? So what he said, what he advised is, relax into it. Which is basically what? Mind sweeping method, remember? Relax. Feel, don't think, feel, relax. This is exactly what he's doing, telling them. Just feel, but he never say feel. He say relax. If you use the word relax, and you don't explain, people will interpret it differently. Understand? Do you relax means what? Yeah? Means what? Go and sleep. You say relax, I relax. I sleep. You don't supposed to relax and sleep. Relax is you feel. Don't think. Feel. Then release that tension. That's why I say relax. You feel and relax whatever tension, tightness, and stress within. Remember? I not only teach you how to release, relax the tension, tightness, and stress within at the forehead, understand? Every part of your body, understand? Even your facial muscle, very tense. You have to relax it, understand? When you are unhappy, what happened? Your face expression show, understand? Not only forehead, understand? Well, what kind of face? When you are jealous, lady, you can see on it. You got one kind of face. But when you're very happy, that's why I say radiate a radiant smile, there is joy, there is no stress. Understand? That's why it's a skillful means to relax, understand not? To help you relax. But he didn't found out about this mind sweeping method. He used his own technique. Understand not? Then after relax is what? This one is very good. The fourth one. Re-smile is what? Like I teach the mind sweeping method. Radiating a radiant smile in front of a mirror. Understand? You don't do it in front of a mirror. You ask you to smile. You go and smile. Understand? But with a mirror reflecting, you can see whether you smile or not. Understand? Understand? So this re-smile is very good. Re-smile is to relax. Understand? If you can smile, means there is joy. Understand? then you relax and settle. That's why he said always smile. So his method is you must smile, you see. Be happy, smile. Then after that, return to what? Because his object of meditation is anapanasati. Return to object of meditation. But not necessary anapanasati at the sana. And you know, this monk, he came to Malaysia before, Brickfield. Yeah. I invited him to my house for Dana before, last time. When I sent him the photo, only he remember who I am. He told us, even when he is teaching at the state, before that also, he said he used to, like, he loved Burma. He under Mahasi method for 20 years now. Then after that, he finally decided to go on his own to find out what went wrong. Because after 20 years, is it cannot be, is it? He's so devoted, no? Dedicated. No? Then he realized something wrong. Then he go and find out himself through investigation. No? Then he read the Anapanasati Sutta. No? And he checked all over, no? The great master everywhere. He also went to Thailand. He went with me to see my teacher, Ajahyantra. Same trip. Then he came out with this understanding. He said, Anapanasati is what the Buddha do. And he believed Anapanasati is the real meditation. So he go and do a lot of study. Then he came out with this 6R is because he interpret the Anapanasati that way. So he said, you return to the object of meditation, which is Anapanasati. Understand now? Yeah? What is he doing? It's very good. After mind sweeping method, when you are more calm, more peaceful, what you do? I ask you to do what? No. You have to stabilize that mindfulness. After that, you do anapanasati, mindfulness of in and out breath. You cannot remember the instruction. After mind sweeping method, you go to your object of meditation to stabilize the mindfulness. So, anapanasati is one of them. You can anchor it to anything, actually. It's up to you. Because these are all skillful means to stabilize the mindfulness so that you can be ever mindful. Understand? But to him, the method is the meditation as well. That's where he actually got a lot of students progress quite fast. They like, because the mind become peaceful very fast. You don't believe, you try very fast. Because what he teach is good. Recognize that your mind has been distracted by something else, as well, whether pain or wandering thought or what. Then what you do? Don't go and dwell into it. Don't go and suppress, fight, control, or do anything with it. You just understand that this mind has been distracted. Recognize it. Then release that defilement. Don't have anything to do with it. Then go and deal with the stress. He believes it's only at the forehead. Then he said, relax into it. But he didn't know about the five hindrances and the five spiritual faculty, how to interact. But it is not bad. Because when you relax, you get the answer. Because the key to meditation is to relax so that all stress return to normal state of mind. And then the silence will come back, the peace will come back. So you actually supposed to feel and relax. So you modify. You say, recognize, then you release. Very good, this first two. Then after that, feel and relax. Understand? Into it. Whether it's in the forehead or facial muscle or whatever. But the mind sweeping method is still the best. You know how to do. Then after that, re-smile is very good. That's why radiate a radiant smile. When you train your mind to decondition the heedless thinking, you got inner peace there. But you don't have inner well-being, understand? Well-being is what? Happy mind, happy state of mind. So inner well-being, positive energy, you feel very good, understand? So inner well-being is very useful, very important. So you have to have this inner well-being. You must read it metta. That's why metta must come in. Metta bhavana must come in. So you incorporate another skillful mean. So when you have metta, you don't have to smile. Initially, smile is to help you relax the facial muscle, the tension. Then after that, you read it. May I, this body and of a body and mind of my be well and happy. Well and happy. You feel the well-being and happiness. Then your mind become happy, peaceful, joy. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. It will make you feel very good, understand? That's why your mind can calm down. Your mind can decondition the heedless thinking. And you do it often and now, it will recondition you to have this heedful mind, understand? A mind that feel and think does not create heedless thinking, understand? Then this is a new condition, especially in a retreat. You do very fast. You move into the silence, the stillness. Understand? Then anapanasati, see whether you need it or not. Well, if you can move into the silence already, then you can stay at the heart. You don't need anapanasati actually. Well, after I relinquish, I didn't really use much. I only use it when I want to develop what they call like recover. Well, last time when I went into anapanasati, I can go into absorption. Then my mind, the energy is very strong. Then I can heal. That time I don't really age. You cannot see me like aging. When I was working in the university, I was at the age of about 35. They thought I student. Well, that time I don't age. Well, I do a lot of concentration. Actually, before that, during the early years. So my face is like a student face. Even after I work until almost 35 years old. But then after I have understood, after I reverse the training, I actually don't want to do all those things anymore. We have no more meaning. Why I want to prolong this youth for what? Asala. Make it look young, look what? What for? Asala. Let it go the way of nature. If nature is like that, it's like that. Otherwise, you will develop craving. No? Oh, I can heal myself. No? I can cure myself. I can make myself younger. No? But that mind that don't have craving cannot actually do all these things anymore. It's just like you ask me to go and do dana. I cannot do already. Unless there is condition. So, sometimes I try. But I find it no more meaning. What for? You do it for what? It's just because you want to interfere. No point. Like the Buddha said, later on, like a worn-out block card. You know what is a worn-out block card? Going to collapse anytime. So no point forcing it. Okay? So after you relax, instead of re-smile, you can do metta. Radiate loving-kindness. Actually, the mind-sweeping method is still a good one, combined with metta. The one that I use to teach and share. Then after that, you return to your object of meditation to stabilize that mindfulness. And this one you can use any object, not necessary anapanasati. But anapanasati is useful, provided you know how to develop it. Then don't go into apana samadhi, absorption. Stay at upacara samadhi. That's why the Buddha, he recalled a harvesting incident when he was a kid. He was very young. He went into first jhana and his mind state was so beautiful. That's why before he became the Sammasambuddha, he recalled that incident. Then he went into that state. That is the upacara samadhi. That time the five jhanic factors are there, but it hasn't gone into absorption. There is vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, and ekagata. But they are not strong. So because of that, when you understand, you will know what to do. Okay? Then, the last one is what? The last R. He said repeat. Remember I told you? Okay. Fifth R first is return. Return to the cultivation of anapanasati, which is the object of meditation. Mindfulness of the in and out breath to train the mundane mind. To develop a stable mindfulness leading to heedfulness. So that is the purpose. So a lot of things he doesn't really comprehend yet. But he knows you have to return to object of meditation. actually is to stabilize the mindfulness. Then after that, he say, repeat all this first five. So the sixth R is repeat all the above. All the above. So if you continue to follow the sixth R, the number six, what will happen to you? Yeah? What will happen to you? You become mechanical, right? Keep on doing, right? Just like the Vipassana people. If I don't note rising, falling, I'm not doing Vipassana. If I don't do 6 hours, I'm not meditating. That's why they get trapped. Then they become mechanical. Then every time they have to do this, can your mind be silent when you are doing all these things? Yeah? You have to, through memory, remember what? Repeat. Repeat what? Recognize. Then do again. Who do? The thought do. Then after that, release. Release is very good. Release that thought. Release that defilement. And then after that, relax. Relax is very good. So he actually got a few of this right. So, not bad. Actually, you use this technique, it can make your mind very peaceful quite fast. But, yes. Not kaya nupasana only. He will only have like peaceful mind, no tension. And they believe by doing this, you will go through all the jhanas. But his jhana is wisdom jhana, not the concentration or no. They call it the pure jhana, understand? Nowadays, you saw SBS conducting the retreat, isn't it? About the two types of jhana, isn't it? Remember or not? Now they are talking about it, no? The second type of jhana come from this monk, understand? This monk say, when your wisdom is at this level, that is the first jhana. When your wisdom is at this level, that is the second jhana. Then third, fourth, until eighth. Then he said, Sariputta, breakthrough from there. Then he reached the ninth jhana. So he actually interpret it that way. So there is some truth in it. Because if you say that is your definition of jhana, because when the mind is quite peaceful and quite calm under the sixth R, it has all the jhanic factor inside there, Vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha. Then, of course, ekagata, because he didn't concentrate, he didn't focus, he do anapanasati, anasana. So, he said, that is the first jhana, anasana. Then, it allows you to have mindfulness to see things. Then, after that, he said, you go to the second jhana. Second jhana is what? You relinquish vitaka, vichara, anasana. Piti become the main object of concentration or whatever. Then he said, he stay on piti. Then they have that second jhana. Then after that, the third one on sukha. And then one-pointedness, equanimity. Then after that, he continue, infinite space, everything. His mind go and do all those things. Then he believed these are the real eight jhana. He said, the Buddha is not talking about the concentration one, the Hindu one. So, not important to me. These are interpretation. Because the Buddha himself make it very clear. He was expert, better than the teacher in all the jhana, and yet he knew that was not liberation. He cannot break free. So that's why this monk changed. He said, not that type of jhana. Wisdom jhana. Understand? You can go and try. I don't know. I don't want to understand also. To me, I understand my way easier. So, different people got different way and different understanding. We respect them for what they are. Understand? But his sixth R actually is useful if you understand it and know how to use it. Because what I like is the recognize and release. You try. The moment you recognize that your mind is distracted, then if you straight away release that thing, means your mind is not preoccupied, not trying to do anything to it. Understand not? Like I said, just let things be. And so let things be means what? Release. Don't go and hold anymore. Then after that, what you do? Yeah? After that, what you do? He said you relax into it. That's why the whole of meditation is to train your mind so that this deconditioning of the heedless thinking, when you don't think anymore, when there is no more thought, you are peaceful, you are already aware, understand? Then you don't have to do all this. But initially, you need to train that mundane mind, so you need to do all these things. So the first out is very good, recognize. Then release is don't have to, don't go and hold or attach to any of this defilement or tension or stress or whatever, even pain, distraction, or he call it distraction, which is quite a good word. So after that, he say you relax. The key word is relax. So relax is your mind sweeping method. Feel, relax. Feel, relax. Then the stress will go, the tension will go. Then you do metta, no need to re-smile. The metta will be very strong. Of course, you can try to radiate a radiant smile. Then every time smile, but to him, the smile has helped him a lot. When you can smile into everything, you got no more anger, no more tension. So he believed that smiling helped a lot. And it was never written in the text that you have to smile. No? Understand? But it's okay because it's a skill for me. It's very good. When you can smile, means what? There is joy, there is happiness. Understand? But when human being got problem, you ask him to smile, he cannot smile. Especially when they got anger, hatred, or envy and jealousy. It's not natural anymore. Okay, almost 5:30. We have to end. I read you the conclusion. There, my conclusion I got right. Please note that the number 6 step involves a lot of repeated doing. Doing by who? By the thought, anasana. Who repeat? The thought repeat. Hence, very mechanical and repetitive. Leading to thought-based meditation if one clings onto the doing without understanding what meditation is. See? Because you don't know the purpose of method and technique. It's just to train your mind to be aware. Then stabilize it. Then use it to meditate. Cultivate noble eightfold path, become heedful. And that is the purpose. But they lost focus. They are interested in the doing, but it helped them to become peaceful, calm. So they find it so interesting. So actually, not a bad method, a technique, which is quite good. Much, much better than all the other so-called techniques. So a better way would be to replace the 6 hours with meditation via the training. Via the trained mind in silent awareness instead of repeat. Understand? Use it to meditate, to cultivate noble eightfold path. Then it becomes apamada, heedfulness. This will help improve and refine upon the 6 hours to make it a lot better and much more useful. Similar step number 5 can be stopped once the mind is already trained. Understand? When the mind is already in paucity, silent and tranquil, don't go and do anymore. Asana. Don't go and sitting, touching, anapanasati. Forget about it. Just silent everything and just feel. Then that silent mind become more and more stable. Then the mind enters sati. Then sati become more refined. Then the subtle breathing will come back. This is what you're supposed to do. But this one he hasn't found out. He hasn't done until that state. So that's why when you don't understand, it becomes like that. But when you understand, it's okay. So similarly, step number 5 can be stopped once the mind is already trained. Note that step number 3, 4 are similar to our mind sweeping method and metta used to train and relax our mind. See? You found the similarity or not? So basically, the 6 hours can be a very useful initial skillful means to train and relax the mind. Then the notes say, have an open mind. When people share with us their understanding, we should appreciate and have mutual respect for each other's understanding. No more trying to be right or arise any unnecessary argument that can lead to disharmony and misunderstanding. Avoid all division and negativity. Understand not? I have to put this note down, you know why? Because human beings are very funny. If some of the students study under him, he will take your book and he will challenge you. Understand not? So that's why this note will help develop understanding. Then pure action are action performed without any evil roots or evil motive. When you want to do good or generosity to get merits, and your action is out of getting merits or greed, means your action you do because of that merits that you want. So you act out of greed for that merits. It is already not a pure action, and it will end up with no true merits. For true merits are born of the pure action that are free of all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. This is for the enlightened being. The enlightened being, to them, you say do good. Good means free of all evil root. As long as there is evil root, it's not the type of good that they understand. That's why when the Bodhidharma, first patriarch from China, came, the emperor, after he followed his instruction, built the temple, built the quarters for the monk and all those things, then do the translation. Then he asked Bodhidharma, how much merit do you think I have accumulated? Bodhidharma said, zero. The emperor was so unhappy, but they're not in front of him, tell him all. Then he consulted his two advisors. These two advisors initially don't quite understand. Yeah, he said, if he's like that, means he's not the real one. Then the emperor don't want to have anything to do with him. No. Then for 9 years, Bodhidharma went back to Shaolin Si, faced the wall for 9 years. Then later on, they realized he was very, very wise, no, very good. Then they want to invite him. He doesn't want to go anymore. That's why the Zen story is very interesting. Then you know how the second patriarch went to him and actually requested him to teach him, accept him as a student. Bodhidharma said, don't waste your time. He keep on facing the wall. Until the second patriarch came, only he came out. Well, the emperor sent the general to use the horse to pull him out. Cannot move him. That was what the sutta say. But I believe it must be true. Then what happened was, we better stop. I think it's somewhere in the book. If I'm wrong, somewhere in the book. Yeah. Otherwise, you have to read the Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta. Okay, we will have to stop here. So you can have your dinner. You have to maintain the daily mindfulness training at all times. Okay. 5:30 to 6, dinner, to maintain daily mindfulness training at all times. Then 6 to 6:40, you have a rest, a break. No need to clean up already. So you have more time to maintain the daily mindfulness training at all times, even while answering nature's call. Also to do it mindfully. So cultivation of daily mindfulness via mindful evening walk and contemplation around the temple. So this one you can do on your own. Then 6:45 we come back here. 6:40. We will do the evening chanting. Then after that only meditate. We are after meal. You can meditate. But those who are on 8 precepts, it's up to you. You don't need to take dinner. You got more time. You got 1 hour plus. I leave it to you to train yourself. As long as you maintain mindfulness, you can contemplate, you can reflect, you can do what you want.